So let's turn over to Matthew chapter 6, verse 10. A short verse, but an important one. It says, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is done in heaven." This is part of the prayer that Jesus wants his people to pray. We should be asking God that he send his kingdom and that his will be done in earth as it is done in heaven. The time is going to come when that will be fulfilled. For example, turn over to Revelation 21. And this is certainly talking about a time when Matthew 6 and verse 10 will be fulfilled. It says, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them, and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. He who sat on the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, Write, for these words are true and faithful." Now this is certainly talking about a time when God's will be done on the earth as it's done in heaven. Now, God's kingdom is what God rules over. He's the king of the kingdom of God. He's the creator. We wouldn't exist without his wanting it to be that way. God created all things through Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ did what God the Father wanted him to do. He created all the things that exist. God created all things through Jesus Christ. That's Ephesians 3, verse 9, and other verses mention that in principle, too. The first three verses of the book of John say, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things were made through him. Without him, nothing was made that was made." God the Father is the head of Jesus Christ. Now, you read that in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 3, and then Jesus is the head of all else. He's the head of the church. He's the head of every man. He's going to come and bring the government of God down to the earth. Now, let's look at that. Over in 1 Corinthians 15, in verse 24, Paul writes, "Then comes the end when he," now that means Christ, "when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father." Now, Jesus Christ is going to return to the earth at his second coming. Acts 3, verse 21 says he's going to restore all things at his second coming. We may turn there in a moment. But Jesus will come back to the earth. Now, that's on the Day of Trumpets. We keep God's annual holy days. And at the seventh trumpet, Revelation 11, verse 15, "The kingdoms of this world will become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he," Christ, "shall rule forever and ever." Now that's after his second coming. He's going to have dominion over all the nations on the earth. He's going to sit on the throne of David. That's in Luke 1, verses 30 through 33. It talks about that. We may turn there also. During the Feast of Tabernacles, we review all these scriptures, how that Jesus Christ will come down to the earth, and it's going to be a whole new world. Satan's dominion over humanity will be gone. In Revelation 20, it says that Satan will be removed from having any influence over the earth and over humanity for 1,000 years. He's not going to deceive the nations any longer. Christ and the resurrected saints are going to rule the world. Now, when Jesus returns to the earth, he's going to restore God's government over the earth. That's what's lacking in the world today. God's government. Jesus said to pray, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it's done in heaven." Now, then comes the end when Christ will deliver the kingdom to God, even the Father, after Christ will have established all rule and authority and power over the earth. Now, he's going to get the earth into perfect subjection. He's going to restore God's government over all nations. That's what's lacking in the world today. God's government is not functioning. Just look at the news. Look at the world situation. How many nations are there on the earth? You can name most or all of the nations. Start with your own country and then go to the other countries and just name them one by one. You know, Germany and France and Italy and Switzerland and Russia and Turkey and China and Japan and Saudi Arabia, and the African countries, the South American countries, the North American countries. There's all these countries, and each one has its own government. And none of them represent the government of God. When Jesus Christ returns back to the earth, he's going to restore God's government. Now, governments make up their own laws, and they have their own leaders, sometimes dictators. Sometimes it's a democracy where there are elected leaders. But none of it is the government of God. Now, Daniel talked to King Nebuchadnezzar, and King Nebuchadnezzar didn't realize that God was up there and that God controls all things and that the leaders of the nations on the earth only do so because God allows them to. So Paul said to respect the government of the country you're living in because no powers exist except for that God allows it. You know, Pilate said to Jesus, "Don't you know that I have the power to crucify you or to let you live?" And Jesus said, "You'd have no power at all unless God allowed it." So rulers rule by the will of God. God's allowing it. But it's not the government of God. Now, the government of God will be when Jesus returns back to the earth. And it says here in verse 24, he will establish all rule and authority and power. For he must reign until he has put all enemies under his feet. I'm going to drop down to verse 27. For God has put all things under Christ's feet. Now, right now, we're between Christ's first and second comings. And at his first coming, well, he taught his disciples, he laid the foundation for the church of God to be established, but he was crucified on the Passover. He died and then he rose again from the dead. God the Father resurrected him. And then a few weeks later, he ascended up to heaven and now he's sitting at the right hand of God the Father. So David wrote in Psalm 110, "The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool." Now that means God the Father said to Christ, "Come up here and be with me between your first and second comings to the earth, and then I'm going to send you back to the earth, and you will have dominion over the earth, and all nations will have to obey you. I will put all enemies under your feet." And here Paul said, well, Christ will establish all rule and authority and power. Now, we talked about these things during the Feast of Tabernacles. Christ is going to come to restore God's government over the earth. That's what's lacking in the world today. Yes, God allows all these nations to function, but it's not the government of God. Now, Mr. Armstrong used to go and visit kings and world leaders, lots of them, and he would discuss all the problems that they had. And they all agreed that the solution to the world's problems is one world government. But they also agreed that that was impossible to achieve, because there are so many nations and they don't agree, and they'd never agree on who would be in charge of a one world government. But Mr. Armstrong would assure them that God is going to see to it that the one world government comes. And that's at Christ's second coming. Now, the Bible says that the nations will fight Jesus when he comes. The book of Revelation says that he's going to have to make war against the nations. Now, Christ makes war in righteousness, it says, Revelation 19. Well, he's going to come with a rod of iron, and he's going to have to cause the nations to submit to his government. All right. Verse 27, God the Father, will put all things under Christ's feet. I'll make your enemies your footstool, God says. But when God says that all things are going to be put under Christ, it is obvious that he, God the Father, is an exception to that, because he is putting all things under Christ's feet. Verse 28, and when all things shall have been subdued to Christ, then the Son also himself will be subject to God the Father, who puts all things under his feet, that God may be all in all. All right, so Christ will come and establish the government of God over all the nations on the earth. And then he'll turn the whole kingdom over to God the Father. And God the Father will come, and Christ will have made world peace on the earth. And it's all fulfilling what Jesus said in the Lord's Prayer, that we should pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it's done in heaven. Now we're supposed to be praying for that day to come. It will come. And that's the gospel, the good news of the world tomorrow. And Mr. Armstrong made that proclamation, that news announcement, for over 50 years through the World Tomorrow radio and TV programs and the Plain Truth magazine and countless booklets, pieces of literature, Bible correspondence, course lessons. For over 50 years, that message went out. Dr. Hay said that the true gospel reached all nations between 1934 and 1986. All nations were on the church's mailing list at one time or another. The church got its literature into every nation on the face of the earth. Now, we don't want to forget that message, you see, that Christ is coming to restore all things. Now, let's turn over to Acts chapter 3. In verse 18, the things which God has shown by the mouth of all of his prophets that the Messiah had to suffer, he has fulfilled. He's fulfilled those things. Now, the apostles reported that. It's written up in the Bible. Keep your finger here, but go over to 1 Peter chapter 1, and in verse 10, 1 Peter 1:10, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come to you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, signified when it revealed that the Messiah was going to have to suffer. Now that was at Christ's first coming, 2,000 years ago. And they also talked about the glory that would follow. That's at his second coming. Verse 12, unto whom it was revealed that not to themselves, but to us, they ministered the things which are now being reported to you by the apostles, who have preached the gospel to you with the Holy Spirit sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Now Jesus came at his first coming. He was the Messiah. God the Father sent him down from heaven. So you read in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John how Jesus was born to the Virgin Mary. He grew up. He taught the disciples that God had called and given to him. At the end, he was crucified. Then he rose from the dead, and he showed himself alive to the apostles. And he sent them out to preach the gospel everywhere, the same gospel that Jesus preached, the gospel of the kingdom of God, the good news of the world tomorrow. After Jesus had overcome Satan for 40 days in the battle of the universe, he came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel." Now, Jesus had overcome Satan. He had qualified to replace Satan as the ruler of the earth. After he died and was resurrected, he went back to heaven, and God the Father said, "Sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool," and he's going to come back down to the earth at his second coming. Now, the apostles have written down in the New Testament what Jesus did at his first coming, including his death and resurrection, thus starting off the plan of salvation pictured by God's holy days. And the Passover is the first step. And that means that God is going to continue with all the steps until all mankind is saved from sin and from death and given eternal life, except for those who want to be rebellious, and they're going to be put to a second death in a lake of fire and eliminated. Now, the holy days cover the whole story, and it takes thousands of years to fulfill that. But God is fulfilling that. Now, we're between Christ's first and second comings now, and we're in the church age when Christ is preparing the saints for the resurrection that will occur before the millennium begins, so that they can help Jesus rule the world in the world tomorrow. And we talk about these things during the fall holy days. Right now, we're in the age of Pentecost, and Christ is working with those whom God the Father has called ahead of time, ahead of the rest of humanity, to be the first fruits, so that they're being prepared for eternal life first. Okay, back to Acts 3. Now, the things which God showed that the Messiah had to suffer, he has fulfilled those things. Verse 18 of Acts chapter 3. But now we go on from there in verse 19. So Peter says, "Repent, therefore, and be converted, so that your sins may be blotted out, so that when the times of refreshing come from the presence of the Lord," that's the world tomorrow, that's the way the world will be after Christ's second coming, when God's kingdom will come and God's will be done on earth as it's done in heaven, in the world tomorrow. When that time comes, you want to be ready for it. You want to be there. You want to qualify to be in the first resurrection at the second coming of Christ. And Jesus did say that you have to be worthy to be in that first resurrection. So he wants to make you worthy. The Bible says, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." God is holy, and he wants us to become holy. There's a verse in Hebrews 12 that says, "Without holiness, nobody will see the Lord." And Jesus told Nicodemus, "You must be born again, or you won't see the kingdom of God. You've got to be born of water and of the Spirit." How can you become holy unless God puts his Holy Spirit in you? "Be ye holy, for I am holy." Without holiness, no man will see the Lord. The fruits of the Holy Spirit are love, joy, peace, patience, faith, gentleness, meekness, goodness, self-control. Without those attributes, you won't be in the family of God. And the kingdom of God is the family of God. God's government is a family matter, and that's really important to understand. God is love, and he loves his children. He loves his family. But God is in charge, just like a family. Think of any family that's a good family, that's got a father and a mother and children. That pictures God's family. And God is God the Father. And Christ is at God's right hand. God created all things through Christ. And God is bringing many children to glory. That's the kingdom of God. It's the family of God. And God is good. Mr. Armstrong said that sometimes when he prayed, he just thanked God that God is good. He thanked God that God is a good God. God is good. Now, God wants us to be good also. Be ye holy, for I am holy. All right. So repent, be converted, verse 19, so that your sins may be blotted out. That's why Jesus died on the cross, so that your sins can be blotted out. Take that foul spirit of Satan right out of you and replace it with God's Holy Spirit. Write His laws on your heart and in your mind. Develop God's character in you. It takes time and experience to develop godly character. Well, God's giving us the time and experience now to prepare us so that we can be changed from mortal to immortal at the last trumpet. 1 Corinthians 15 talks about that. We shall be changed. But first, we develop the godly character. God's giving us time for that. Okay, verse 20, and he shall send Jesus Christ, who has been preached to you. Now, the Bible is the Word of God. Jesus is the Word of God in person, and the Bible is the Word of God in print. So when you read the Bible, you're reading the same things that Jesus would tell you if you were sitting down talking to him in the room. He'd always talk along the lines of the Bible. And they say that anytime you talk to Mr. Armstrong, he always tied the Bible into every conversation because the Bible was just on his mind. And Jesus said, if my words abide in you, in John 15, you may ask what you will and it will be done for you. He wants his words to abide in you. Let the Bible be in your mind. What do you think about during the day? Is your mind in tune with the Bible? Are you thinking about it? Do you see the world through the eyes of the Bible? The world sees the Bible through the eyeglasses of evolution. But God's people see things through the eyeglasses of the Bible. Now, he will send Jesus Christ back to you, who has been preached to you by the apostles who were with him at his first coming 2,000 years ago. And they wrote down the letters of the New Testament and the stories that are found in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John about the life and teachings of Jesus. So we can read those things. We can have them. They can motivate us. We also have the Old Testament scriptures, the Hebrew Bible. Now, he will send Jesus Christ, who has been preached to you in the New Testament, verse 21, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restoration of all things. That's at his second coming. The heavens have received him. Sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. The heavens have received Jesus until the times of restoration of all things, which God has also spoken of through the mouth of the holy prophets. Now, the prophets then predicted two comings for the Messiah. The first time, at Jesus' first coming, he fulfilled the Passover. He sent the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, and that started the church age. And God's true church exists today. It's on the earth today. Jesus said the gates of hell wouldn't prevail against it. And Mr. Armstrong said, the only place on earth where God's government functions today is in his church. You'll be doing yourself a favor and making the right decision by deciding to put yourself under God's government right now, today, in the here and now. Because that's the government that's going to be all over the earth after Jesus' second coming. God's church is under God's government because God is the head of Christ and Christ is the head of the church. The church is the wife of Christ. And Christ is the head of the church. And Mr. Armstrong said the only place where God's government functions on earth today is in his church. Now, Adam and Eve stepped outside of God's government. The human family, for the most part, has not been under God's government. Now, God is light. and in him there's no darkness at all. And where God's government is, it's like light. God is good. God's law is holy. Romans 7, verse 12. The law of God is holy. The education, the teaching that comes from God the Father through Christ, it's light. It enlightens your mind. It's good education. The law of God and the Spirit of God, it all goes together. Under the government and the care, the guidance of God, if your life has God's guidance, if God is with you, things are going to go well. You'll be walking in light. Now, that's God's church. Mr. Armstrong said, when our ways please God, He blesses us. You want to be under God's government because God is love. It's a family matter. God's government is a family matter. God will take care of you. He'll be with you. He'll watch over you. He'll help things to go the right way. You'll have God's blessing. But when people step outside of God's government, they don't want to go that way. They get Satan's attitude. Oh, I'm not going to obey God. I'm not going to have that government over me. I'm going to do whatever I want to do. No one's going to tell me what to do. Get those laws away from me. I'm going to do whatever I want to do. Well, then they lose God's blessing. Now they've stepped outside of the light, and now they're in darkness. God's light is not shining on them. Now that's the way the world is right now. You look at all these nations on the face of the earth, and God's light is not shining on them. They're going their own way, doing whatever they want to do, making their own laws, dictators trying to govern the people, people being all upset, even in the United States. You know, the people are upset at the way things go. You know, they're always complaining about the government, even of the United States and everything. It's not God's government. And that goes for all nations on the face of the earth. Now, where is God's government? Mr. Armstrong said the only place it is in God's church. And that's where God's government is. Now, we read in 1 Corinthians 15 how when Jesus comes, he's going to establish all rule and authority. And after he has everything on earth in subjection to him, because he's going to sit on the throne of David, and you know the 12 apostles will govern the 12 tribes of Israel, and the resurrected saints will govern the cities of the earth, and it'll all be under Jesus Christ's direction. It says that Jesus is the King of kings. Now, we're going to be kings in the world tomorrow, but he's going to be our king. Now, he should be our king today, and we should be demonstrating to him that we are happy to be under the government of God, just like Jesus is under the government of God the Father, and he loves it and wants it that way. And he's trying to teach the whole family to be like him. Now, we should have that humble, respectful attitude towards God's government. One of the benefits of that is, you know, we have God's protection, like in Psalm 91, which says, no plague will come near you. God will send his holy angels to be with you. 10,000 may fall all around you, but you'll still be standing. Because you've set your love on him, he, in turn, promises to be with you and to protect you. You'll be under the wings, symbolically, of his protection. Like a mother hen protects her young, you know. And like good parents take care of their kids, and they love their kids. They want things to go well for their kids. But when the kids get stubborn and rebellious, that's something else. No, then that's not right. The kids have to learn to honor their father and their mother. And we all need to learn to honor God the Father and Jesus Christ. And he's the head of the church. It would behoove us to put ourselves under God's government now, to seek it out. Where is God's government? It's not over the whole world, but it's somewhere. It's in God's church, in God's true church. Respects the government of God. That's why Jesus said to the Philadelphians, because you've kept my word and not denied my name. That means you followed the government of God. Now, God the Father placed Jesus over the church. His name is his position in relation to the church and in relation to God the Father. Jesus said, I'm going to prepare a place for you so that when I come, you'll be with me. A place in the family of God. We're going to be given positions, and we're going to be kings and rulers in the world tomorrow and teachers. We want to put ourselves under God's government now. It's the best thing you can do. Put yourself under God's government. Because to go outside of that, not only is it sin, but then you get cut off from God. Then you're not in the light. You're in the darkness, and you're just going your own way through your life. And it'd be much better to have God's guidance with you. And God will guide you to eternal life. Just like the Apostle Paul said, you know, his goal was to be in the first resurrection at the second coming of Christ. And Christ's job is to prepare us for that. Just like child rearing, you know, you got your kids and they don't know anything at the beginning, and then you teach them. And it's like clay. You work with clay, you know. And God wants us to be like soft clay that he can work with, not hard clay. You know, your character is like concrete that you can shape it when it's soft and malleable. But after you've shaped it, or like when they work with concrete and they smooth it out like the sidewalk, then they let it harden. Or it's like a tree that starts off like a twig and you can bend it. But then it grows up into a big tree and it's solid. Characters like that. Now God's working with us. And the Holy Spirit is like living water that softens our heart, and God can work with us, shape our character. We work with our kids for the first 20 years, and then God takes over and works with us till we get to be 70 or 80, and we're ready to be born into the family of God at that point. We must be born again, you know. Verse 21 says, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restoration of all things. Now you see, when Christ comes, he's going to restore all things. That's what verse 21 says. Now let's go back to Isaiah chapter 2. The word that Isaiah, the son of Amoz, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. And it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house will be established in the top of the mountains, and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations will flow to it. Now Jesus Christ will come and sit on the throne of David in Jerusalem, and the government of God will proceed out from Jerusalem, and all nations will come under that government at that time in the world tomorrow. And many people shall go and say, come, and let's go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us his ways. Now, will you let Jesus teach you now? Or will you be stubborn and rebellious, like the world? Now, the world needs to be softened up so that they will become teachable. But they're going to say, in the world tomorrow, he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. See, Jesus will rule the world from Jerusalem. And he will judge among the nations and rebuke people as necessary until they beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. Now the government of God through Jesus Christ will bring world peace. Let's go to chapter 9, verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder. Down in verse 7, of the increase of his government, that's Jesus Christ, and of peace there will be no end. Now if we want to end the church divisions today, let's all put ourselves under the government of Jesus Christ now. That's what it will take. How many divisions of Christianity are there? Well, there was the Great Schism in 1054 AD, and then there was Martin Luther's Protestant Reformation in the 1500s, and there's 400 some denominations of Christianity. And even in the Church of God now, there's hundreds, apparently, of divisions. Well, that's going to all come to an end. Now, where's the government of Jesus Christ right now? Well, you need to look for it until you found it. Ask God to help you. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forever after. The zeal of the Lord will perform this. There's lots of scriptures in Isaiah about the world tomorrow. But let's turn over to Daniel chapter 2. In Daniel 2 and verse 44, just breaking into the context, "And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which will never be destroyed. And the kingdom shall not be left for other people, but it will break in pieces and consume all the kingdoms on the earth, and it will stand forever." It's like the seventh trumpet, Revelation 11:15. "The kingdoms of this world will become the kingdoms of our Lord and our Christ, and he will reign forever and ever." In Daniel 7:14, "Now, the beast power is still reigning on the earth. It's still out there. Now, we have to make it past that time, but when Christ comes, he's going to knock Babylon down." Verse 14, "And there will be given to Jesus dominion, glory, and a kingdom, so that all people, nations, and languages will serve him. His dominion will be an everlasting one, which will never end, and his kingdom will never be destroyed." And now let's turn over to Luke chapter 1. Now here's where the angel Gabriel talked to Mary. In verse 30, "The angel said to her, 'Fear not, Mary, you found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and call his name Jesus. He will be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end.'" Now when Jesus was before Pilate, Pilate asked Jesus, "Are you a king?" And Jesus said, "Yes, but my kingdom is not of this world." No, it's going to be of the world tomorrow. God the Father said, "Sit at my right hand, Jesus, until I make your enemies your footstool." Now, God the Father is going to determine the exact time to send Jesus back to the earth for his second coming. When he comes, all things will be put under his feet. He's going to be given dominion over the earth. Now, God once gave Adam dominion over the earth and Eve at his side. But Adam sinned, and Eve sinned, so they lost their opportunity to have dominion over the earth. Satan has had dominion over all nations for 6,000 years almost. But Christ is going to come, and he's going to have his wife with him, and it's going to be a faithful kingdom, faithful to God the Father. The kingdom of God is the kingdom of God the Father. You can read in Psalm 103, verse 19, that God the Father sits on a throne in heaven, governing over all things that he's created. And all the angels who are holy are under his government. That's the kingdom of God. And Jesus said, when you pray, pray that God's kingdom would come and God's will would be done on earth as it's done in heaven. So Jesus is going to bring that about. And he is bringing it about already, by preparing saints for the first resurrection. That's his job now. He's managing the Pentecost period. God the Father calls those whom he chooses. Then he gives them to Christ to work with and prepare them for eternal life. They're going to be with him in the world tomorrow and forever after. All right. Let's jump to the book of Revelation then, in Revelation 11. Verse 15, we've mentioned it already. "And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven, saying, 'The kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. Let's back up in this chapter just a little bit. It talks about the two witnesses that are going to come. In verse 3 it says, I'll give power to my two witnesses, and they'll prophesy 1,260 days. That's 3.5 years. 42 months, 1,260 days, 3.5 years. It's the second half of the 70th week of the 70 weeks prophecy. Christ's first coming, his 3.5 year ministry, was the first half of that 70th week. Now the second half is the 3.5 years leading up to Christ's second coming, a special time on the earth that God has prepared greatly for. It mentions in the book of Daniel and the book of Revelation, this 3.5 year period of great tribulation on the earth, the worst time of trouble that ever was or ever will be, but God's going to see to it that there are these two witnesses who are standing for God. And Jesus said, the gospel of the kingdom of God will be preached in all the world as a witness, and then the end will come. God wants the people to hear it. And the people who are receptive to the preaching of God's gospel at the end of the age will be allowed to become the first generation of the world tomorrow. And those who just insist on remaining stubborn and rebellious because they're so inoculated by Satan's world and Satan's spirit and everything, and they just won't obey God at all, even when God sends them good, strong, clear teaching from the mind of God, the education of God, just like Mr. Armstrong did for over 50 years, and the two witnesses are going to be an extension of that work, undoubtedly, preaching the true gospel message, the same education that comes from the mind of God. And the human beings who can learn and listen and obey, and they're worthy, and Jesus is the judge of all of these things, they'll be allowed to enter the world tomorrow. And those who aren't will have to be eliminated. They won't be allowed to enter the seventh millennial day. Oh, they'll come up in the great white throne judgment, but they won't become part of the first generation of the world tomorrow. All right. Now, these two witnesses, it says, verse 4, these are the two olive trees and the two candlesticks standing before the God of the earth. Now, I want to turn back to Zechariah chapter 4, because it talks about this. In verse 2, it mentions the seven churches of the book of Revelation. Okay, I'll just put it that way. And in verse 3, the two olive trees are the two witnesses. And the two witnesses are teaching the seven churches, because the church of God is partly on the right track and partly on the wrong track. The Philadelphian segment, they're on the right track. You might just say, those who are on the right track are Philadelphians, and those who are on the wrong track are in one of the other categories, like the Laodiceans are lukewarm, you know, the Ephesus people have lost their first love, and that kind of thing. In general, those chapters of Revelation 2 and 3 about the seven churches seem to be saying that the wife of Christ has some work to do. It needs some correcting. And those who are already on the right track, they don't have to go through the great tribulation. That protection will not be on all of the categories there in Revelation chapters 2 and 3. It mentions the two olive trees in verse 3. Now remember, in Revelation it said, these are the two olive trees, the two witnesses, during the 3.5 year period. Gerald Waterhouse called that the period of final training. Now I just want to break into the thought of this chapter. In verse 6, it says that God's work is going to be done not by your might or power, but by my spirit. God's going to do it. Now, the two witnesses, for example, they're merely tools in God's hands. It's not because they're great. It's not because they're super intellectual or better than anyone else, but they're tools that God is going to be using at that time. And then, down in verse 9, the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house, this temple. His hands will finish it. Now, it's talking about the church. The church is the temple in the New Testament. Now, who started the church? Well, God the Father through Jesus Christ, Christ is the head of the church. He's the chief cornerstone of the foundation of the church. He sent forth his apostles, and he raised up Mr. Armstrong also. Now, God started the church. He's going to finish it. What Mr. Armstrong did is one phase of it, because he did a wonderful job of preaching the true gospel for over 50 years because God was using him. And he was submissive to God because God trained him to be submissive to God. You know, God gave Mr. Armstrong 28 years of poverty out of the very prime of life. And during those years, he was growing in the knowledge of the Bible. God was teaching him the doctrines one at a time and so on. And then in the end of his life, he was like Job. God blessed Job greatly at the end of his life after he went through a period of great trial. Dr. Hay said the reason God could use Mr. Armstrong as an apostle is because he didn't want to be one. And Dr. Hay said that all nations were on the mailing list of the Plain Truth magazine at one time or another. The church got its message into all nations. Well, anyway, God started building up the church and he's going to finish it. The two witnesses are going to come. And the temple will be finished. God's church will be prepared. And it says in Revelation 19, the church will make herself ready. And of course, Christ will come and marry the church at his second coming, at the last trumpet there. And she will be at his side. And Christ and his wife will have dominion over the earth. And the seventh millennial day will come. The first generation of the world tomorrow will have been prepared. They'll be teachable. They will have lived through the Day of Trumpets and the Day of Atonement and made at one with God, brought under the new covenant. They're going to come into the church. They're going to be starting off in God's school. Church is God's school. They're going to be starting off as kindergartners in God's school to be trained for eternal life. They're going to enter into the world tomorrow. Mr. Armstrong said, you can't start a college until you've got enough teachers prepared to staff the positions. Now, the world tomorrow is going to be like God's school for eternal life. And all human beings living at that time will be in God's school. And we're going to teach and train them under Christ with the same education that comes down from God the Father. And how do you learn that education? You learn it through God's government over you. So you need to find it. And I would just recommend that you read Mr. Armstrong's books. Mystery of the Ages, Incredible Human Potential, and the other books that he wrote. Find the booklets. You'll be doing yourself a favor. It's good, good education. When I went to Ambassador College, Mr. Armstrong was there teaching from the pulpit when he gave his sermons and Bible studies. There are also classes. Well, unfortunately, a lot of the teachers started to think that they knew differently, better than Mr. Armstrong, and they started to go off track. And I saw a lot of that when I was out there. Well, I remember Gerald Waterhouse, one of the evangelists, gave a sermon. He said, whenever a man departs from the authority of Mr. Armstrong, he no longer carries God's authority. If a man steps out of line from Mr. Armstrong's authority. Now, 2 years after I graduated, God raised Mr. Armstrong back from near death, if not total death. He brought him back to set the church back on the right track. That was God's doing. I say, find that. Get in harmony with what the church was when Mr. Armstrong put it back on the right track. In the last 7 years of his life, it was on the right track. Then after he died, it went off track again. But, hey, I know that Mr. Armstrong represented God's government. I believe that with all my heart. We want to be under God's government now. There's only one true God and one true religion. It's the same education that Jesus taught his original disciples. And by reading Mystery of the Ages, or Mr. Armstrong's literature, it explains the Bible. It puts it together like a jigsaw puzzle so you can understand it. When I first read the booklet, Just What Do You Mean, Kingdom of God? I began to understand what the kingdom of God is from that booklet. I'd never heard it before. But we've talked about that a little bit tonight. Now, Christ is going to come and bring the kingdom of God. Now, Jesus said when you pray, pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it's done in heaven. That's the kingdom of God. That's what Jesus is looking forward to. And when Jesus comes at his second coming, he's going to bring the kingdom of God and set it up on the earth so that God's will be done on earth as it's done in heaven. And we read in Revelation 21 how the tabernacle of God will be with man and God will be with him. And there'll be no more pain and sorrow and even death. God's going to make all things right. Christ is going to restore the government of God over the earth. And then there'll be light, God's light. Satan's darkness will be gone. The world is in darkness right now. But God's light is going to become over all the earth. And won't that be great? You know, it says the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters fill the seas. And we talked about all these things during the Feast of Tabernacles. And we should be just filled with joy and anticipation for what God is going to do and what he is doing even now within his church. Now, let's ask God to keep us in his church and under his care and guidance and education. And let's learn to speak the same way that God speaks and Christ speaks and his apostles speak. It's the right thing to do. And not only is it the right thing to do, but you'll be protected during the Great Tribulation if you're on the right track. Let's show God that we love his government over us, and let's be teachable, not cantankerous. Let's follow what's right and do what's right. God will finish what he's already started. He started the church. He's going to finish it. The church will make herself ready. The marriage to Christ will be finalized at his second coming. And the world tomorrow will come. And at that time, God's will be done on earth as it's done in heaven.